Romans chapter 12, I'm talking tonight about human relations. How many of you have human relations? Every hand should be up right now. We all have human relations. In fact, we all have problems with human relations, right? Life would be so much better if it wasn't for people. You ever said that? Or thought that? Or heard someone say that? People are crazy. What were they thinking? My life would be so much better if that person would change. You ever thought that? Maybe said that? I have.
Yeah.
I have. I really thought that if that person was just removed from my life, things would be great. Never realizing at the moment that God had put them there for a reason.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know that there are quite a few people in the United States that have already devised a plan to eradicate conservative thinking people?
Yeah.
All these thoughts are not of God, but of the devil. God loves people.
Amen.
In fact, he loves that person that you don't.
That's right.
Just as much as he does you. Amen. So when you and I are having thoughts of hate towards others, we are closer in line to Satan's way of thinking than God's. And by the way, hate does sound like a harsh word, and it is, and it ought to be. But just so that we understand what hate is, it's anything but love. We call it dislike or distaste or whatever other adjective that we decide to use. But if we're not showing love, we're showing hate. So is it possible to have unity with those people? Those people that we would just as soon not ever see them again. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says this: if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I do pray that you would lead and direct my words so that I deliver your message to your people in an accurate way. And Father, you know our needs, and I pray that you would meet our needs. I pray that you would open our eyes to the things that we need to see in ourselves. Lord, help us to make change where we ought to. Help us to repent where we need to. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This verse that we just read, verse 18, sometimes when we read it, we almost assume that what Paul is doing here is giving us an out to not get along with people. So let's dig a little deeper to see if that's what he's actually saying. Look at verse 10, same chapter. He says here to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
Right.
Affection, this is our month of affection. And what it means is feeling or showing affection or warm regard. Loving. Being tender. Considerate. Paul, the same guy who said, if it be possible, says here to be kindly affectioned with brotherly love, with honor. Honor. Preferring means giving in to one another, patient in tribulation. I want to repeat those last three words. Mm. Patient in tribulation.
Yes.
Do you ever have tribulation because of other people? Mm-hmm. Of course we do. Many times we even assume that it was just outright wrong, shouldn't have happened, they're wrong, they need to change. Mm. Never seeing why God even allowed it to happen to me.
Amen.
Because he did.
Yes.
He did. He allowed it. He could have stopped it, right? But he allowed it to happen. Why? So that we could learn to do what verse 10 is saying that we should do. Look in verse 13.
Amen.
Distributing to the necessity of saints. Mm. Distribute, that means meeting the needs of those people in your circle in whatever way is necessary.
Yeah.
Even the needs of that person who has either done you wrong or just rubbed you the wrong way. Mm. Verse 14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Here, Paul is actually repeating the words of Jesus that he said in Matthew chapter 5.
Right.
Bless them which persecute you. For someone to persecute you, they have to have an ill motive. Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, they may just do it accidentally, but in most cases, if people are going to persecute you, they're probably doing it with an ill motive.
Right.
So when that happens, what are we supposed to do? Verse 14 tells us what we're supposed to do. Bless them. This sounds impossible. But as Brother Tommy mentioned this morning, all things are possible with God.
Amen.
And if he tells us to do it, he will also enable us to do it. So in other words, he's going to make the impossible possible.
Amen.
You know why it's so hard to get along with other people? Because we don't obey Scripture.
Mm. That's good, Bruce.
Instead, we convince ourselves that people are just weird. Not me, of course. Mm. Everybody else. That's right. What we convince ourselves of. I'm not the weird one. They are. Mm. If they would just conform to my way of thinking, everything would be just fine. Mm. That's just not true. Look at verse 16. He said here, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend of men to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We'll always struggle being of the same mind as long as we think that we're always right. And as long as we refuse to be unselfish and put their desires ahead of our own. If you look at Philippians, in fact, turn there if you would, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2. Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Mm-hmm. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I want to stop right there for a minute because I think it's important that we understand exactly what strife and vainglory is. Strife is exertion or contention for superiority. Contest for emulation, either by intellectual or physical efforts. In other words, trying to outdo the other person.
Yeah.
Get the upper hand.
Mm.
That's strife. Vainglory is pride. Exclusive vanity excited by one's own performances.
Mm.
That's what vainglory is, pride. So he's saying here, not to allow strife or vainglory to dictate what we do. We're never to try to win. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good.
Our biggest problem in having unity over dissension is our pride and our desire to win.
Right.
A fellow, my mentor, in fact, he used to say this all the time, probably still does. It's better to be happy than right.
Mm.
When you or I strive to win, listen carefully, we both lose.
Amen.
Yet, when we strive to put the other first, we both win.
Amen.
When we struggle in our human relation, we struggle in our human relations, not because it's not possible, but because we don't obey Scripture.
Right.
Paul goes on to say in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others."
Mm.
In other words, he's saying to consider other people's needs ahead of your own.
Yeah.
By the way, this is excellent marriage advice.
Amen.
Jeanette's needs ought to become greater in my mind than my needs.
Right.
When my needs become greater in my mind, we're going to have problems.
Yeah. True.
When her needs are greater in my mind, we're going to have unity.
Yes, amen.
That person you work with, that aggravating neighbor, whoever it is, when their needs become greater in your mind than your needs, you're going to have unity.
Mm.
And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 12. That's what he's talking about here in Philippians chapter 2. He's talking about us having the same mind. That doesn't mean that we always agree on everything.
Right.
I don't know that that's possible.
Right.
It is possible to get along.
Amen.
I remember some years back, we made a trip to Haiti. There was 10 or 11 of us. And I remember thinking about this after our trip. It was a good trip, very good trip. We had no problems, no arguments. Everything went great. We did exactly what we went there to do. But when we went, the group was a preacher, a fine jewelry salesman, a plumber, a nurse, that nurse was Vicky, a tree guy, that was me. We had a secretary there. We had just a number of assortment of different people of different vocations, people of different personalities, people of different mindsets of all kinds of different things, and yet we did exactly what we went there to do.
Mm.
We had one mind.
Amen.
We struggle in our human relations, and I'm repeating this on purpose, not because it's not possible, but because we don't obey Scripture.
True.
Look at verse 5 through 7 of Philippians chapter 2. He said here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men."
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God Almighty,
yes,
gave up all of his glory and perfectness in heaven and took upon himself the form of a servant.
Yes. Wow.
A servant. Jesus, the creator of all things,
yeah,
took upon himself willingly and purposefully the form of a servant.
Bless your name, Lord.
Amen.
If Jesus could do that, why can't you and I do that? And I think the reason is pride, vainglory, selfishness. You know whether or not you have a servant's heart by how you react when treated like one.
That's good. Wow.
I do think it's important at this point to say that there are times when people do wrong. It must be addressed and even corrected, whether it be in the community, in the church, in the family. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to turn there, we're going to read what God tells us about this issue. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says this: "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme." Now, who's that talking about? It's talking about governmental authority.
Right?
Verse 14, "Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well." Why did God institute government? To establish law and order.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go shoplift somewhere and you get caught, you should be punished.
Yeah.
If you're going to break the law of the road and the policeman pulls you over, you deserve consequence.
Yeah.
Same thing in our church. Same thing in your family.
Yeah.
In fact, in Matthew chapter 18, God gives us a different angle on this.
Right.
If you want to turn there and look, Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him." This one word right here is very important. Alone. What that does is it wipes out gossip.
Amen.
If Brother Lewis offends me, I don't need to go and talk to Brother Phil about it. I need to go talk to Brother Lewis about it.
Amen.
And I need to try to come to some form of reasoning with him.
Yes.
Then what? Okay. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Verse 16. "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Mm-hmm. 17. "And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." All I'm bringing this out for is for us all to understand that There are times that God expects wrongdoing to be dealt with.
Yes.
Okay? Now, by the way, you also find this if you read, we've been reading through the Bible, and when you read through the books of Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, you find that God puts in place some actually pretty exact consequences for wrongdoing.
Right, right.
God expects wrongdoing to be addressed and dealt with.
Yes.
Okay? But our heart about the matter is paramount.
Yes, it is.
That's why Paul stressed the importance of considering yourself before attempting to correct someone else. He does that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Jesus even said, get the beam out of your eye before trying to help remove the mote out of someone else's.
Right.
He's addressing our heart towards those who have done wrong. Even if you have the authority to pass judgment against someone, but you do it without love, it is sin.
Amen.
For example, for a parent to lash out at their children out of anger or even embarrassment is wrong.
Yeah.
It's sin.
Right.
For a pastor or leader of church to react wrongfully to someone who has done wrong is a sin.
Amen.
It's wrong for a school teacher or a principal to angrily scream at a student because of their wrongdoing. It's about our heart. All things done in love are done perfectly. You find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14.
Yes, sir.
So turn back to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. Paul repeats here in verse 20 what we also find in Proverbs chapter 25. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. If it be at all possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. When he says, if it be possible, he is not giving us an out. Because all things are possible with God.
Amen.
Especially having unity. Verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
It's interesting, he puts this verse right after all these others on human relations. Because when he says, be not overcome of evil, we could just about put the word your right in front of the word evil. Not their evil. Be not overcome of your evil, but overcome your evil with good.
That's good.
In other words, most of the time when I'm having a problem in my mind towards you because of what you've done, how you've upset me, how you've offended me, made me mad, maybe even abused me. Most of the time, the problems I'm having in my mind are sin. My sin. My reaction. how I reacted to you. The beam in my eye is very likely my reaction to your improper reaction, whatever that were, your improper action, whatever that may have been. God allows difficult circumstances to come our way to help mold and shape us to be more like Jesus.
Yes, He does.
Every difficult circumstance that you ever encounter is a tool in God's hand to shape you to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
So for God to remove all of these problems and aggravating people out of our life would be a mistake. We'd never grow to be more like Jesus. Remember, Jesus on the cross said to God, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." About the people that purposefully caused him pain.
Right.
For the people who screamed out, "Crucify him." To the people who tore the skin off of his back.
Yeah.
They had ill motive. For us to become more like Jesus, there will have to be times when we are mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
There will have to be times when people have done things to us that we didn't like.
Right.
That were wrong.
Yeah.
So that we can learn how to respond like Jesus responds.
Amen.
Our prayer ought not to be that God would remove them, those people, or that problem, but that God will do the work in me that He's trying to do in me.
That's good.
Until I pass that test, I'm going to have to retake it.
Amen. Amen.
Over and over.
Amen.
Do you have repetitive problems like this in human relations?
Yes.
If you do, then here's the red flag that's flying in front.
Right.
Until we learn to see what God's trying to show us, we're going to have to keep going through that same difficulty. When we learn what God is trying to do in us, and we allow God to carve that off of us and allow God to help us to be loving, forgiving, patient in tribulation, long-suffering towards other people, then we pass that test. We won't have to keep taking that same painful test over and over. So I don't know what it is for you or who they are. They may be in your house. But it's not God's plan to remove the problem. That's what He told Paul. "I'm not going to remove the thorn."
Right.
It has a purpose. But instead, God's trying to remove something out of me.
That's good.
God's trying to remove something out of you through that difficulty.
Amen.
When we learn to look at it from the right perspective and allow God to work, then He can work. And He will. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank You for loving us so much that You do allow difficult things to come into our life to mold us and to shape us to be more like Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would help us to accept the work You're trying to do in our life. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to become more like Jesus. I thank You for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 260.